title of today's sermon is What Moms and Jesus Have in Common. The scripture verses are Acts 2, 42 through 47, and John 10, 1 through 10. What Moms and Jesus Have in Common. Happy Mother's Day. I'd like to recognize all the mothers here in church today. I won't bother recognizing everyone here who has a mother. That would be pointless, as we all have or have had mothers. I wouldn't be exaggerating if I said that mother is the best job title you could ever ask for. Hands down, it's the most important job in the world, and it's the hardest job in the world. The very choice of becoming a mother is a testimony of faith. Faith in the future, faith in yourself, and faith that the joy of motherhood will far outweigh all the pain that inevitably comes in childbirth, as well as all the headaches and heartaches that are sure to follow. I don't want to belittle fathers, and I know that there are more than a few stay-at-home dads out there today, but traditionally, it's the word mom that shows up more often on tattoos. Dad, you might enjoy throwing the baseball around with Junior, but when the ball hits Junior in the head, who does he go crying to? Teenage girls might think that their boyfriends are the best thing since sliced bread, but when they have a fight, when their hearts are broken, who do they run to? Well, Mom. Mom is the one who they can share the hurt with, and she's the one who you can trust to clean the wound and put on the Band-Aid. She's the one who knows which medicine to give and what to do, and when you have a fever, a runny nose, a headache, or most any ailment. She has, by far, the best shoulder to cry on. And good mothers know that raising children is more than putting on Band-Aids and comforting teenage girls. It's a lot more than cooking or cleaning or doing laundry, even. You are actively, as a mother, you are actively, constantly steering your children down the path of righteousness. The psalmist may have been thinking about his own mother when he wrote, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That's right, like sheep, children need to be nudged, sometimes yanked in the right direction. Mothers have a very effective way of directing their children. I don't know if it's genetics or if all mothers have had some secret training, but where do they learn that icy stare? You know, the one that paralyzes you and makes you carefully consider what you will say next. Mothers attach serious consequences to a child's misbehavior. If you steal a bag of candy from a grocery store, your mother doesn't just go to the store and pay for the candy. Your mother takes you there and asks the grocer to give you some work to do so that you can pay for the candy 10 times over. I've known mothers and fathers who try to smooth things over for their child, to shield them from trouble. But this only postpones inevitable disaster. A good mother makes sure that a child suffers consequences for bad behavior, and of course, a mother also shares in those consequences. She shares the sadness and frustration that the child feels. She commits extra time and energy to getting that child back on the right path because she loves the child and wants the child to grow up in a way that brings that child greater joy. In essence, she wants the child to have an abundant life. So mom is a lot like Jesus, who says, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." Pastor David Loess, in a commentary on today's gospel lesson, makes a very good point that too many Christians diminish the point of Jesus' life and think about their salvation in a very negative way. By that he means that many Christians think that Jesus came to wipe away or to negate our sins and thus save our souls from damnation. Well, forgiveness of sins is a wonderful thing, but if that was the only purpose for Jesus coming and suffering and dying, we should all feel a little puzzled, wondering what has really changed in us or in the world. If I'm forgiven for sins, past, present, and future, is there any reason for me to change? And if everyone in the world felt the same way, that our sins are forgiven, what is to prevent those people from committing the same sins again and again? And if everyone just carries on the way that they're used to carrying on,
Only now, with the assurance of forgiveness, because Jesus died for us, well, then the world is not likely to change in any positive way. Indeed, the assurance of forgiveness for future sins could cause folks to sin all the more readily, knowing that God will forgive them. And such a mindset could, well, could make this world a very cruel, cold place. No, we should not simply think. Jesus is one who negates our sins while we continue to commit them in abundance, like a mother who continually pays the grocer for all the candy her children steal. That hardly helps the delinquent children. But we should think of Jesus as one who forces us to comply by a set of rules, and we shouldn't think of Jesus as one who forces us to comply by a set of rules in order for us to qualify as sheep, any more than a mother requires a boy to take out the garbage in order to qualify as her son. No, the relationship we have with Jesus is a given. Jesus says we will know him by his voice, just as a child recognizes his mother's voice. And a child failing to heed his mother's call does not negate the fact that he is her son and she is his mother. The fact that we are God's beloved children does not change because we fail to obey him. From today's gospel reading, we can discern that Jesus' main aim, the main point, is to protect his sheep from danger, such as just as a mother's aim is to protect her children from danger, be it a physical danger like jumping into the deep end of a swimming pool before you know how to swim, or a spiritual danger like becoming so obsessed with money and material that you fail to grow in your capacity to love others. Both types of danger, physical and spiritual, can lead us to injury or death, physical or spiritual. And mothers, like Jesus, will readily lay down their lives for their children. The overarching desire is the joy and well-being of their children, for the abundant life of their children. And what brings mom the greatest joy in the world is what brings Jesus the greatest joy in the world, when all their children are living an abundant life, abundant in love and caring for one another, and they can all come together and share a meal and enjoy one another's company, like the community that was described in the passage in the book of Acts, everyone caring for each other and no one in need. Of course, all people are children of God, so it's a great challenge for us to bring everyone into that community. But someday it will happen if we practice that kind of love ourselves and lead others to practice it. Someday we will be eating dinner together at an all-you-can-eat banquet with Jesus, with others. So let us do our mamas proud, do Jesus proud, by living that abundant life. Amen.